All right. This morning we're going to continue our sermon series on I Love the 80s. If you didn't know it, the song Mary sang this morning was one of the top Christian songs in 1982, the coloring song by Petra. And so she decided to sing that this morning. Today we are on Psalms 82, so we're going to highlight 1982. The top song, secular song of 1982, was I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett. You just heard that this morning. The average cost of a new house in 1982 was $82,000. The average income per year was $21,000 in 1982. The cost of a gallon of gas went down in 82 to 91 cents. The new car average price was $7,900, and the U.S. postage stamp was 20 cents in 1982. A pound of tomatoes would cost you 39 cents. A bag of cheese puffs was 89 cents. A loaf of white sliced bread was 50 cents. And a Commodore VIC 20 computer was $299.95. A satellite receiver, remember those big giant satellite receivers? Those were $299.95. A GMC 1500 pickup, brand new, would cost you $5,400 back then. A Sony 19-inch color TV was $499, and a brand new outdoor gas grill was $200. Some of the highlights of 1982, Michael Jackson's Thriller was released in 1982. The first issue of USA Today was published, and Disney's futuristic park Epcot Center was opened for the first time in 1982. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. was dedicated in 1982, and the Weather Channel aired on cable television for the very first time. So those are some of the highlights of 1982. If you have your Bibles, I want to read Psalms 82. It's a very short psalm, but once we get into it, it's a very powerful psalm, one that we probably should read each day for the rest of the week. It says Psalm 82, starting in verse 1. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. Have you ever wondered why there's so much evil in the world? Why so much tragedy, so much injustice? We see it over and over and over again in the daily news. And I'm sure there's many reasons having to do with spiritual warfare and the presence of satanic forces around us. But Psalms 82 here presents a very clear concept that God is looking to see how we're going to react to that evil in the world, to that injustice in the world, that tragedy in the world. Almighty God is addressing gods here. He says, I call you gods. That reference is not to multiple gods of lesser power than our God. But really, he's talking to man here, who is made in the image of God and supposed to be acting and behaving like their heavenly Father, and who can and should anticipate immortality, that is eternal life, as children of God. He's addressing men and ladies who are children of God and who are expected to act like children of God. When people see these sorts of things, tragedy, injustice, evil in the world, a common reaction very often is just to say, where is God? We see a shooting in a school, or we see some kind of tragedy on the highway, and it's easy to question, where's God in all that? Or some even go as far as say, there must not be a God. They're looking for God to do something, when in fact God says, that's your job. It is up to us to do something. Don't forget, we are God's voice. We are God's feet. We are God's hands here on earth. God empowers us to do things. God does do miraculous things. But he's called us to be his servants. God is sitting in the judgment to see if we will act like he does. Or if we will just grumble and complain, or perhaps even join or endorse the evil that's going on around us. Psalms 82 is calling us to behave like children of God. Do you stand for truth the way God stands for truth? Do you love the way God loves? What is inside us, our character, our nature, who and what we are is reflected in our interactions with and for other people here on earth. Whenever we see evil, whenever we see injustice, be it in the workplace, be it in the community, be it on the news, wherever we see it, we are supposed to be moved to a godly response. To the point where we need to be on our knees asking God, what am I need to be doing about this? Through your Holy Spirit working in me, what do I need to do about this? This psalm reveals some of the ways in which our interactions with others ought to reflect our nature as children of God. Don't forget, we have taken on his name. And when he says, don't take my name in vain, this is what he's talking about. Don't take on my name if you're not going to act like me or act like my children. For instance, if we carry the nature of the Heavenly Father, it will be evident in that we refuse to show partiality to the wicked. If you're following along in your outline, that's number one. We refuse to show partiality to the wicked. We are called to judge truth and justice honestly. The secular world will tell you over and over again, judge not lest ye be judged yourself. They love that scripture. You're not supposed to judge. Oh, yes, we are. God makes that very clear in the New Testament, especially when it comes to one another. We are supposed to judge truth for what it is and injustice for what it is. Jesus did it all the time. He addressed sin when it needed to be addressed. He loved when people needed to be loved. Verse 2 in our text this morning says, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Deuteronomy 1:17 says, do not show partiality in judging. Hear both small and great alike. Do not be afraid of any man, for judgment belongs to God. Does money speak powerfully in your judgments? Or do you honestly look at the truth? And what I mean by that is don't let the fact that a guy or a gal is your boss and can fire you and influence your concept of truth and justice. Too many Christians fold when it comes to that. Does money speak powerfully in your judgments, or do you honestly look at truth for what it is? And we live in a world that will tell you there is no absolute truth. God, from the very beginning, has said there is absolute truth. Jesus even comes in the New Testament and says, I am truth. There is absolute truth, and there is absolute righteousness, and there is absolute justice. See, it's not okay to work crooked business deals because the boss says so. It is not okay to lie about insurance claims or to cover up corruption because the boss could fire you tomorrow. Don't let their power of prestige or their nice clothes or their high position influence your judgment of truth and justice. God says you are going to refuse to show partiality to the wicked for who they are. He's also telling us don't let threats of intimidation influence your judgment of truth and justice. It's very easy to be intimidated by the world. Just because the guy is a bully does not make him right. Someone needs to stand for truth. And the one who knows and trusts God, who stands in the character of God, will stand for truth. Will make a stand and say, I will not go along with that. I will not follow that. I will not hurt people for that. Intimidation can come in the form of many things. It can come in the form of a bribe, meaning if I don't side with them, I will lose money, I will lose position, I will lose reputation, I will lose a lot of things that I've worked hard for. God says, refuse to be bribed by the world. Judge injustice for what it is. Don't let your personal love for an individual distort your concept of truth and justice. This is a hard one. Don't let your personal love for an individual distort your concept of truth and justice. A great example of that is because one of those people is your daughter and the other is an unknown person, you still need to find truth in the situation. Don't just assume your daughter's the right one because she's your daughter, or your son's in the right simply because he's your son. Seek out truth. It's not right to side with your child against their spouse just because they are your child. You are to side with the truth and lovingly point out the error wherever it is. That's hard to do sometimes when we are influenced by our great love for somebody. And when we are intimidated by those who seem to have power, by those who threaten us, or by those who have the power to favor us, we pervert justice. We pervert God's justice. And God says, my children will judge justly. Because God hates partiality and he hates injustice. We are his representation here on earth. This psalm makes it very clear. And we serve a God who loves deeply many things and many people. But we also have a God that hates things very deeply. And one of the things he hates is partiality and injustice, especially amongst his own people. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? If you go down to James chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, it says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. It is not godly behavior to take advantage of others. We need to be on guard on that all the time, whether we are intentionally doing that or not. God says you will not pick and choose who you choose to love. You will love everyone who I put in your path. It is not godly behavior to take advantage. You cannot take advantage of the poor, ignorant, or disadvantaged and think you are being godly. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, we take care of them. We certainly don't take advantage of them. God is saying that godly people don't do such things. He's also saying godly people don't allow such things to go on in the hands of others. And that's probably the most important thing as a church and as members of a church. Yeah, it may be easy to stand before God and say, you know, I don't do that. I don't take advantage of the weak. I don't take advantage of the ignorant. I don't take advantage of those without a voice. But I watch it every day, and I don't do anything about it. I watch millions of innocent babies get killed every single year, and I don't do anything about it. I don't raise my voice once. I watch the poor get taken advantage of, and I do nothing about it. I let the weak be bullied, and I do nothing about it, and I don't speak up. God tells us to refuse to show partiality to the wicked and to take care of the weak, which brings me into number two. If we are godly, if we carry the nature of the Heavenly Father, it will be evident that we defend the weak and the oppressed. That's not a choice as children of God. You have been called by Jesus Christ Himself, by example of Him, to defend the weak and the oppressed. This is the nature God expects in His offspring. In our text this morning, verses 3 and 4 says, defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is even how Job defended himself against accusations of ungodliness. When he was being accused of being a man far from God, he defended himself by saying in Job 29, verses 11 through 17, whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me, because I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist him. The man who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. Job is saying here that he had a godly character in front of his Heavenly Father. He had a nature that he is sure was representative of his Heavenly Father and pleasing to Him. He is saying there is nothing here to be ashamed of. He is saying not guilty. These things are right, and these things are appropriate to do before your Heavenly Father. Are we actively defending the weak and the oppressed wherever we go? Are we actively praying for them daily? We have a wonderful missions program here at the Waterford Church of Christ. Some very passionate people in this church who bring forward to the congregation needs across the world. And we support them financially. Do we take it a step farther and pray for not just them, but for the people that they are ministering to? There are some horrific things happening in some of these countries. There are some horrific things happening and attacks happening by Satan in some of our own places happening in our country. If you don't know, Cincinnati Christian University is still struggling financially and under attack daily by the enemy. Are we defending the weak and the oppressed? You see, the one who created all of mankind, cares for them all. And his children do the same. His children do the same. Is there evidence of your godliness here? In the defending of the weak and the oppressed? Does your heart go out to others in legitimate distress? When you see people being taken advantage of, does your heart ache to the point where you will do something about it? Where you will speak up? Or is it easier to just sit at home and be quiet and do nothing and go to church on Sunday and pretend like everything's okay? When you see someone down and out on the street or even homeless, are you simply hardened against them, disgusted with them, afraid of them, judging them wrongly, probably? Or does your heart somehow go out to them to the point where you'll sit down and have a sandwich with them and find out why they are in the situation that they're in? There was a camper at camp a couple weeks ago who's a very high-functioning camper compared to the rest of them. But he had his quirks, and he had his problems. And I shouldn't say that I judged him unfairly. But he appeared to be okay to me. And I wondered, why is he at this camp year after year? And he sat down and he shared his life story with me for an hour. The horrors that that young man had been witness to and had been subjected to from the time he was 2 years old, you can't even imagine. All he wants is somebody to love him, listen to him, not asking for money, not asking to be taken care of. He just simply wants to be loved, and he goes to camp every year because he finds value in himself, and he finds love in that 1 week of camp that he doesn't always get elsewhere. God's people hear that kind of stuff, and they have to move. And they have to work on behalf of the defenseless. Give voice to those who don't have voice. Speak up for those who can't defend themselves. If we are godly, if we carry the nature of the Heavenly Father, it will be very evident in that we, number three, furnish people with the knowledge and understanding that you have. This is probably the most important thing God's called us to do in this text. We are called to acquire knowledge and truth. Why? Because verse 5 says, they know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. People are not right with God because they are lost in darkness. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. We, if we are like God, if we are His children, are supposed to seek that essential and important knowledge of Him each and every day. That's why I preach it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Are you in the Word of God daily? Do you wake up in the morning and the first thing you're being fed before your breakfast cereal, before your Pop-Tart, before your eggs and bacon, whatever, are you feasting on the Word of God? Are you gaining wisdom and knowledge daily so that you have the opportunity to share that knowledge and that understanding with the poor and the oppressed in the eyes of God? If we are like God, if we are His children, we are supposed to seek that daily. It comes from intentional study of God's Word. Are you doing that daily? And I'll say that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday until everybody does. Are you intentionally studying the Word of God daily? He tells us right here, if you are my children, you will seek that out daily. It comes from attention to His Holy Spirit. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, when you made Him Lord of you, when you were baptized in His baptism, you were promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you paying close attention to His prompting in your life? It is the Holy Spirit that will give you a heart of compassion that will say, you need to go and speak. You need to go and listen. You need to go and just sit by that person's side. You need to go and provide a meal tonight. You need to go and offer whatever it is, the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to that voice? Or do we shut that voice out daily and say, no, send somebody else? You don't know who you're talking here. We like to play Moses a lot and tell God, you picked the wrong guy. The Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. If He's tugging on your heart to do something, it's intentional. And we better be listening. It comes from interaction of what we learn with real life. Are we applying what we learn in our own lives and in the lives of others? Anything you read in the Bible, anything you receive today through Sunday school or through the sermon message or a song that we sang in worship, are you daily applying that to your life so that you can apply it in the life of somebody else who's going to be struggling today with something, who's going to be struggling with something this week through the loss of something great, through the hurt of unforeseen circumstances. God calls us to share knowledge and truth with others. Romans 1:18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Folks, we need to make sure that we're teaching truth to the children of this church, to the children that God's put in your own homes, be it your own children or your grandchildren or the children of this church. Are we teaching them absolute truth? Truth about doctrines, truth about baptism, fellowship, the Lord's Supper, the fidelity of marriage. In spite of what schools and Hollywood like to advocate, do we teach them that there's truths, that there's things that are, homosexuality is wrong. Plain and simple, in the eyes of God, He says that's wrong. That's not what I desire for you. Or do we stay silent on that? Do we teach folks wherever you are and wherever you can, at work, at football games, at baseball games, is truth coming out of your mouth? And are you standing for justice? Do you take a stand for knowledge and truth, even when it's detrimental to yourself, when you have been in the wrong and you need to confess? Are you sharing truth? When the truth is unpopular, do you take a stand anyway? When you have to stand alone, as Christ did, maybe at work, maybe in your family, do you do it for the sake of Christ? Even when others are hurtful and when others are unfaithful around you, are you faithful? When standing for truth means being faithful even unto death, are you sharing your knowledge and understanding by living out that faith to the point where you would be in danger of dying for standing for the truth of Jesus Christ? We have Christians all over the world that's the case. We have missionaries who have seen that firsthand. Men and women who had to make a choice. I'm going to stand for truth, and I'm going to share truth, even if I die. And some of them have died, and some of them have lived. And don't think that goes unnoticed by people around them. Do we demonstrate knowledge of godliness in our lives? Things like love your enemy. How do you represent yourself in regard to those who oppose you? In regard to foreign political powers? In regard to those who give you a hard time at work? Are you merely human? Or you demonstrate the very nature of God? That's what he's talking about here. Things like forgiveness. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Because this is what the Son of God did. It is the nature of the sons and daughters of God to do just that. And to give that knowledge and that understanding to those around us. Sons and daughters of God are to be a light unto the world. What a great message this morning. God's judgment is rendered in Psalms 82:6 through 7, the end of our text here. He says, "I said you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler." Are you a mere man? Are you a mere woman this morning? Destined to die as all humans do. Or are you a child of God? With a lease on eternal life. Granted to you by the author of all life. Because you live and you act in the name of Jesus Christ. The very Son of God. Of the living God. The very invitation this morning is very simple and a little different. The invitation today is for each of us to become a genuine child of God. Some of you have claimed that name for many, many, many years. And maybe you've struggled over the past several years to call yourself a genuine child of God. Do I do the things that I've been called to do here in a very short chapter in Psalms 82 here? Do I stand up for truth? Do I stand up for justice? Do I act like a child of the Most High God? Or do I fall back and just stay out of the fight? Just stay out of the battle, stay out of the war, because it seems to be easier. God says there's no victory for people that stay out of the battle. There is no prize, there is no victory for those who stay out of the war. But he says the blessings are beyond your belief for those who are faithful to him, for those who stand up for justice. What a wonderful psalm this morning. Hope you go back this week and read it a couple times over again and are reminded of what God calls his children to do. I want to invite you this morning, if you've never before allowed God to make you one of his children, we invite you to stand up, run forward this morning, cry out to a loving God that you are a sinner, that you need to be saved by his grace. You need the blood of Jesus Christ to make you clean before your Creator and to receive his forgiveness today and start your life new as a child of God. Be baptized in his baptism. Be raised anew as something completely new in the eyes of God to live for him. For the rest of us, I call us today to surrender yourself today fully to your Heavenly Father. To be genuine children of God, doing what he's called you to do daily. And be his hands, be his feet, be his voice in a world that teaches there is no truth. Show the world the truth of Jesus Christ. Would you please stand? And for every one of us, make these words your song to God today. I surrender everything to you today, God. Let's sing.